Station Space, Slashdot Radio.
Next time, can the forces of Oz stand against both the Gundams and the Tall Geese? Tune in for Gundam Wing, episode 47.
With special guest star, Voltron.
I got confirmation from people. Gundam Wing does suck. It's not just us.
It's a good thing that we ran that past everyone.
Yeah, well, apparently there are good Gundam, but not Gundam Wing.
I don't mind Gundam Wing too much.
I really couldn't deal with it. I was having a hard time with it. It was just... It didn't move very fast. And at least with Dragon Ball Z, it's like professional wrestling and you don't care.
Dragon Ball Z is totally like professional wrestling.
It is. It's the professional wrestling of...
Jesse the Body Ventura versus Vegeta. I know what you've been saying,
We're
Vegeta.
Just being ridiculous.
I've been hearing
now.
What
Ever
you're...
Ever since I earned my new secret power, ever since I become Super Saiyan.
I know when we meet in that ring that only one thing is going to happen.
Your hair's going to turn yellow.
I ain't well. Got time to bleed.
Oh, we started.
Anyway.
good afternoon.
A special behind the scenes view.
What happens
behind the scenes?
I'm Mike Wallace.
Behind the scenes.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
Hey, this week, can I be Mike Wallace? You're Mike Wallace. Can I be... I'll be Wolf Blitzer. Is that the... Was Wolf Blitzer the stud?
Damn it, Rob. You always get the good names. I mean Wolf.
I'm Wolf Blitzer, and this is CNN.
Was he the stud scud?
The scud stud, yes.
Yeah, the scud stud. The stud scud.
Snip,
stud,
snip,
stud.
Snip,
he was a stud, definitely.
Well, that goes without saying.
Considering he and Nate's hot night in Acapulco. Yeah.
Well, no, that was Kuwait City.
Wow. So you're listening to Geeks in Space. We've got Wolf Blitzer, Hugh Downs, Barbara Walters, and who else do we got? Suzanne Jiha. She's probably local, so nobody's going to know that.
Turn on any Barbara local Wawa. TV show.
They're all pretty much the same.
Look at
but
the
what are you really like? Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Female broadcasters are all cut from essentially the same mold. I don't know where they
it's
get this mold.
It's all part of my master plan.
Ex-Miss Teenage USA.
It's kind of like the Manchurian candidate, except for primetime
Have
TV.
Have you seen the local sportscaster on Fox?
It was all Brokaw's idea, I think.
Have you seen the sportscaster
no.
on Fox?
No.
He's nuts. You have to tune into the sportscaster on Fox and our local affiliate, just because he's crazy. He's like, his eyes don't focus right. And seriously. And he's like, he gets really excited. He starts stuttering. And he's just like, oh, and it goes through the hole. And it's just the weirdest thing because he's just so unprofessional.
And occasionally he rolls his sleeves up and shoots up right on the air.
All it's right. a great example.
So I made a remark to my friend how he thought you had crazy eyes. And then you said that thing about the Holocaust. And...
Okay.
What? All right. Good. We're starting out offensive this
Usually
week.
We just
not even
end
working
offensive.
Up to it.
Excellent.
So where are we this week?
Well, we're going to nuke the moon.
We're on the surface of the moon.
Right on. About to launch our nuclear weapon that will be visible from Earth.
You know, good thing we're on the dark side. We screwed that up because now nobody will see it when the nuke goes
off. Oh, well. The Soviets will know.
Yeah, it's more like a gesture. Look what we did! Woo! See, I actually had Jeff's story up, and, excuse me, I was going to edit it and add some sort of comment about, well, we should probably say what the story... We should probably actually talk about
you
what the story
You should stop
is.
Burping.
Yeah, I've been drinking a can of Pepsi, the choice of the new generation.
No!
Here on the other side of the headset, I'm drinking Coca-Cola.
We're
a unique and
we're
delicious
gonna battle
and
royale.
We're gonna take the taste challenge, the blindfolded taste challenge, and see which one really truly is better. Okay, so the story is that the U.S. had plans to nuke the moon. That's the headline.
let me give some more
please
details.
Reiterate. Please
right.
go into this.
In the 50s or 60s, I don't remember when this came out. It was actually post Sputnik, I believe. The United States
Sputnik
Air Force.
Is a cool name.
Yeah, shut up.
We never named anything that cool.
Nah. Apollo.
Give me a break. Mercury? I mean, I know people who drive Mercuries.
I drive a Mercury.
Can you narrow?
You can go ahead, Jeff. Just
all right,
ignore
anyway.
That.
Cold War to one-up the Soviets. The United States Air Force commissioned a study about planning to nuke the dark side of the moon so that it would be the mushroom cloud would be reflected by the sun and would be visible from the planet Earth. Thus, to show those damn Soviets that we have a bigger penis than you do. Look at how we nuked the moon.
So what stopped us?
That they might not be able to build a moon base where they had previously nuked because of the fallout. That was more important.
Right. Now, see, my biggest thing about this is that it really seems like this kind of thing is what happens when, you know, guys who were, like, in fraternities in college decide to go to join the military, you know, because it's like, all right, well, we got big bombs. What can we do with it? Well, let's nuke the moon. Yeah, it's a great
idea. I'm going to put it in my pants. Hey, like, baby, do you like what I got in here?
It's like this thing, you know, where you hear about, you know, the cars that get disassembled and reassembled inside buildings or something. It's like some sort of fraternity prank.
Frat stunt?
Yeah, it seems like it'd be a great frat. So we blew up the moon, dude.
Do you hate ocean tides like I hate ocean tides?
Right.
Join me, John Cowboy Neil Potter, to blow up the moon.
Isn't there a place like Eastern Canada where they use the tides to generate electricity?
The Bay of Fundy.
Yeah, okay, so if you
actually,
wanted
it's
to
not
get
just
Fundy,
Eastern Canada.
Okay, well, if you wanted to get Fundy, you could totally just take out the moon and then,
I feel like getting
no more
Fundy
renewable
tonight.
Energy resources for you.
Hey, Nate, you want to go home and get Fundy?
Yeah, dude.
Look, I got an extra big Fundy rock. I think we could go out and have a really good time.
So,
you, me, and a maple, the fun will never end.
Now, didn't Piccolo do this in, like, episode 4 or something?
Don't you hate Saiyans transforming into huge giant apes the way I hate Saiyans?
Foolish monkey, you can't destroy me, ape.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, we started off hyper.
Blow up the moon.
Yeah, it seems like the logical conclusion. Show of force, eliminating evil Saiyan transformation.
Blow up the moon!
Great collegiate fraternity prank. It has a plethora of purposes, and I for one, am excited to hear that our U.S. government spent our tax dollars, admittedly tax dollars before I was born, so not a lot of my tax dollars, learning all about...
I don't know, Rob, you might have had a bigger inheritance.
The DOD had to do something to justify its existence after World War II, I mean...
Well, this is like way back, but this is like Cold War era, right?
Yeah.
This is like when they were covering up Roswell.
I like to think if we were ever attacked from the moon, though, we'd be ready.
Blow it up!
It's good to have.
We're ready. We've got the plans right here.
Well, it's like Tim Robbins in Austin Powers 2 says, you wouldn't miss it, would you?
It's just the moon. Motif. Motif was released to the open
you
source community.
You beat me to that friggin'
hey, that's
story.
Cool.
I know. I
bitch.
Know. I was in there this morning, and I was like, that's mine. But it was also submitted like 100 times. So I got that one. I'm excited. The story is that Motif has released the source. Motif hasn't, I guess, released the open source. The open group has actually done something to make their code open. Motif, you can download the source code now. It's open. I don't know what license they actually released it under. Did anybody check in?
Oh, they have their own.
Oh, great.
No, no more downloading
another license.
Statically linked S-Motif libraries or whatever.
See, everything in Debian is pretty well linked against Lestief now. So that's actually pretty cool, except for like Mozilla or not Mozilla, Netscape, which is just like, bleh, hello, I'm
binary.
17 megs or whatever of binary. Oh man. Okay, yeah. So here's their license. Oh lordy.
Yeah, basically what their license can be summarized as is that if you use it in I think it's an open source OS, basically BSD and Linux, then you don't have to pay royalties. But if you use it in any sort of commercial environment, you do have to pay royalties.
Just a commercial operating system?
Nah, well, I guess it's don't know. What the hell? You got the license
it
open.
It ain't an open source license, but it's an opener license, a more open license. And apparently if it's not
more
that good
open
of a license,
than not.
It doesn't look more open than it was. It isn't very good. People will just continue to use Lestief anyway.
Well, if you read the comments and stuff like that, there's just a lot of people who are like, well, what the hell, you know?
Too
this
too
isn't
late.
Open.
Yeah.
Too little.
Yeah,
too late.
And that was, I think there was a lot of that. If this had happened a year ago, I think it would have been a much different
thing.
Well,
yeah, and Corel and a lot of other companies have been dumping a lot of money into Lestief. And, you know, it works now. You remember when it was like, oh, well, you use Lestief in your application, and like, oh, that dialogue, segfaults your program every time. Ha ha. So it's really not like that anymore. Lesteef is pretty well... Well, you know, we always kind of think about the major toolkits being GTK and Qt, but Motif, you know, been around forever.
Yeah. All the old Solaris apps.
Back from the era of, like, XAW, you know.
Let's use Athena. I was thinking Athena was pretty pimp as far as widget sets go. And
My favorite was TextEdit.
TextEdit. Oh, yes. That's a good old-fashioned Motif.
With the OpenLook widgets.
Yep.
Yeah, OpenLook. Man, those were nasty. They also had, what was the GUI the GUI builder that came with Solaris that we always had to develop those things under?
The Sun Pro, what was it? It was Sun Pro Workshop.
Man, it's like, you know, the crappy Visual Basic where you draw your toolboxes and then it dumps up this nasty C
chunk
code. And then
that
you suck it back in order to edit one of your dialog boxes and all your functions disappear and then you curse and, you know, your professor fails you and you fall out of college.
And that was pretty traumatic for everyone, I think.
Yeah, it's a good thing the development tools have gotten a little better since then. See, Athena was cool because, there were so many different drop-in replacements for XAW, because there was, like, the old XAW, which was, like, black and white, and it looks just like ass. And then there was, like, XAW 3D, and there was XAW XPM, and there was, what other ones were there? Were some really cool ones.
XAW 95.
There was an XAW Next one, too, where it was just like, aha, we've created XAW, but it looks like Next. And it did, you know, that was pretty cool, but Next apparently is not the most user-friendly of interfaces to program, so...
Well, speaking of X, we have some other X news. The delay of Mac OS X. Big surprise.
I have an X in my genetic structure. Oh, wait.
Lovely segue there.
Nice transition. Did you go to, like, broadcasting school?
Thank you.
And now you're going to listen to the soothing
sound.
Yeah,
OS X is delayed until January of 2001.
But you can still make your X desktop look like the Aqua theme.
That's true. Which is a pretty pimp theme as far as things go.
I actually changed my desktop back at the office, and I think I may go back to the Mac desktop.
I did Aqua for quite a while. Actually, now I'm using my TiVo-ish theme. You know, I made a theme that looks kind of like a TiVo, so I could use it on my TV. Because it would kind of match my TiVo, and plus it has really big fonts and really high contrast, so you can see it, you know, even though you only have 500 scan lines. So I've been using my TiVo theme, which is pretty, like, butt, basically. But
pretty much, TiVo looks like my butt.
Well, it looks like butt when you put it on a 1024 by 768 LCD. It looks bad when you're on a 500 by 400 TV.
But I think TVs should just be giant monitors, but I may just be crazy.
Well, let's see. They have that. It's called HDTV.
Yeah,
our government has
cheaper.
No one broadcasts for it.
The FCC and the film or the television industry has worked for years to make sure that we don't get that kind of stuff.
Well, the FCC has actually worked for it.
Yeah.
The networks,
the television
on the other
industry.
Hand. Yeah. Did you hear what the networks actually what they did is, you know, they're required to carry an HDTV signal for some stuff. So what some of the cable companies are doing is they're putting onto it. They're putting onto what's supposed to be the HDTV signal, like a data signal, and just not sending HDTV. So the FCC, you know, left that loophole open, and they're taking advantage
of it.
Well,
there's a good variation on that loophole, which is that you can use the HDTV signal, and you can actually broadcast, like, four or five regular TV signals over it.
Yep.
So there's actually, apparently, stations that got a license to use HDTV, and they have to use it, so they're broadcasting five regular TV stations over it at the same time. Which is like, aha! We win! We get to broadcast five stations, and our competitors only have one. So that's another annoying loophole, all out there to prevent us from getting high-resolution television.
Those
so that I can see Jennifer Aniston's nipples stick out in Friends in HD.
Well, you know, there might be other uses, Rob.
What?
Name
one. Okay. Thank you. Jennifer Aniston's nipples, priority number one. Thank you, NBC. Actually, they may not be back next year.
No, they signed a new contract.
Oh, did they now?
2 years.
2 years?
2 year contract.
So NBC is paying $1 million
right,
a friend?
You can watch Jennifer Aniston age over the next 2 years.
Yeah, that show is still on?
Courtney Cox is getting older. It's scary to me that Phoebe is the cool one now. All the other ones got old, and Phoebe is still pretty cute. I love Friends. I'm kind of pathetic. Yeah. But, you know, I don't really have a lot going for me, and, well, Friends as I do have, every Thursday night. Woohoo!
Woo!
Yum! And Jennifer Aniston, they must film that place in, like, a set that's, like, 50 degrees. It's great.
Yeah. Anyway, to keep Rob from rambling on any longer, I suggest we talk about some news.
Let's see, we got some
Linux Care response.
Here's basically what I think about Linux Care.
Okay, yep, that was what I think about Linux Care.
I got a couple T-shirts from Linux Care, and so that was pretty cool.
I have that sweet little bootable business card CD-ROM, and
it
you know,
a Debian thing on
the
it.
Thing that really pissed me off about it is that apparently it required it was like a crash recovery thing. You would boot it, and it still needed you to have a hard drive, like with like certain programs installed on it. So it would like it won't boot. I tried booting it on a machine that was just like had a blank hard drive, and it just doesn't work. So I was just like, oh, man.
They have a new one out, though, that will.
Is they? Yeah, they did update
a new one.
Is
that?
Is
that?
Wow.
No, they have a new one.
My name is Rob.
It's like 350 megs, and it's like you can boot off it, and it's got X on it.
See, that's what I really want.
See, but, I have to say that we are not exactly the target market for Linux Care, because let's face it, Linux service... Huh?
We can kind of do
that's
that.
That's what we do.
That's Potter's job.
I think that's part of the whole problem with Linux Care is that right now there aren't very many places that need a place like Linux Care.
Yeah, it's a company that's ahead of its time, maybe.
Sure.
That's a good way to put it.
But, see, I did read Tim's original article about Linux Care, and he was saying that they were thinking too much in terms of a traditional model, you know, phone call support and things like that.
Yeah,
and
it's more about the web now.
And, well, what Tim was advocating, actually, is that they should go even higher end, creating custom Linux distributions for environments and stuff like that. And I think that they could do a good job of that, but they kind of went too bland, I guess, would be the way I would put it for what they wanted to do. And so they got creamed.
Yes, well, and there was also the conspiracy theories surrounding that, too. Like Jesus coming down and smiting them. I don't know. I've heard some pretty exotic theories as far as that one goes. Internet VCR service? I saw that was a pretty interesting one, actually, although I think the subject for it, or the title wasn't very clear. It's essentially this company has got a bunch of computers essentially recording TV signals, and you can go in and program them to say record this show, assuming, you know, you're one of the people who gets,
one
you know,
of the eight
one
people?
Of the eight channels. And, you know, there's only like really 50 or so channels really going on anyways. So, you know, if your show happens to get taped, you can go watch your show later, or like in real video, I guess, which is... You know, it's a pretty cute idea. They'll probably last about 5 minutes before.
Yeah, they'll have the same problem that
off.
iCrave did, right. In that they're rebroadcasting the signal without permission.
And the interesting thing about that is, functionally, it is identical to the TiVo. It's just a distributed TiVo. You know, I mean, it's still just, here's a digital VCR. It's just that you're putting it on the internet and sharing it as opposed to having it in your local
See, the thing is, and
sharing
your local
is bad.
Room. Yeah, that's true. Sharing is bad.
The problem with stuff like that is that, I mean, you could work out an agreement with the network so that the networks could track the traffic, and that way they... Because all the networks care about is how many people are actually watching so they can tell the advertisers that. But it's hard to get a Nielsen rating when people come in and do...
Things
you know, are
like
watching
that.
Through that.
Well, that's one of the interesting things is Replay TV has been... Replay is one of the major competitors to the TiVo, and I have never actually used one, but they were doing a thing where I guess they were going to be partnering with the Nielsens because they're trying to figure out a way that devices like the TiVo and the Replay TV
could
actually report ratings. And then, you know, the networks would get more accurate ratings. You know, well, you know, I don't have a problem with them getting more accurate ratings as long as they're not telling them that, you know, Rob Malda, who lives at this
true.
Address, I don't care if they say somebody
watches Baywatch
show.
All the time.
This Baywatch addict. He watches Jennifer Aniston and he fast forwards to the scenes where it's cold. You know, I don't care if they know that as long as they don't know that it's Rob Malda who lives at this
more
address.
Out about Rob in the last 20 minutes than I really needed to.
You completely knew when the Jennifer Aniston fetish the size of a yacht. Let's see. I had my desktop image for like 3 months in college was
Jennifer Aniston
on the cover
Rolling Stone.
Man, that was a great picture. Kept me awake, kept me warm many cold nights.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. these guys aren't gonna last very long, which is really too bad because it's a cool idea. But again, there's so many ideas that are so cool that
are probably totally illegal.
Which you know, it really
including a number of them that we've had.
We won't go into that today.
Nope.
Let's see.
Coming up later, the obscene phone call of the day.
So Pioneer has actually got their first DVD recorder is coming out.
Yeah, in Japan.
Japan, you know, not here.
No, we have to wait for things good like the PlayStation 2 and DVD recorders.
Yeah.
Grr.
But
however, if a nice Japanese Geeks in Space listener would like to send us something for
evaluation purposes.
We'd be happy to reimburse the cost for you.
Yeah, it's too bad people can't see eye rolls on...
Yeah, or smiley faces or grins.
Yeah.
It's the first, I guess, consumer-level, you know, non-$20,000 DVD stamper router. The funny thing is that the blanks are going to cost $30. So,
it's more than a DVD
price. The RIAA isn't nervous yet. But remember when CD-ROM blanks were $30?
Yeah.
That was, what, last Thursday?
Yeah, I know. Well, they still are in Canada.
Yeah. No, actually, I think they're okay.
Oh, really?
Blame Canada!
I was really hoping that, they would get expensive because we were working out our whole CDR for Cuban cigars, drug smuggling trade, ring. Smuggling ring
that,
thing.
Yeah, still, I'm for
Note,
that.
Trade and Customs Service. Rob Malda lives at...
Don't.
Oh, I don't know your address.
That's true. You're sitting here. You don't know my address. Let's see.
No, we're just down the road a piece.
That's true. Well, actually, I guess there is an issue about this. I mean, if these things can do multi-layers, theoretically you can fit 4 hours of video on it. So you would be able to put two videos
movies
on one.
On one
I don't
DVD.
Know, but most good DVDs are you saying 4 hours or four layers?
Well, the thing is, I don't know how many layers this thing will burn, but you can have, what, four-layer DVDs and just nobody's done it yet. Hmm. You can Titanic fits all on one DVD, and that was like 3.5 hours, wasn't it?
I noticed I watched Amadeus yesterday, and that one was actually double-sided, where half of the movie was on one side.
That's an older thing. They did that a lot with the first ones.
Yeah, with the widescreen and then
the regular.
Well, this one was just the first half of the movie. The entire thing was widescreen, but the first half of the movie was on one side, and then you had to flip it over, which is kind of a pain.
They did that with a lot of older movies. That was when DVD was when layer one was basically the only thing that they could do, and the technology just wasn't there to stamp out two-layer DVDs. And now, I mean, if you get any DVD that's like got widescreen and
it's just a menu selection
on a menu where you don't have to flip, that's at least a two-layer DVD. So, I mean, you can fit, 4 hours of video
of
on these things. Now, whether or not this encoder is or this DVD recorder actually would do two layers, I don't even know.
It'd be cool if you could put, like, The Wizard of Oz on there and then have Dark Side of the Moon
as the alternate soundtrack.
Audio track.
That would be cool. Getting into programming your own DVDs would be kind of fun.
But would it be third roar, first roar?
All of them, dude.
I think I would go for third roar.
Third roar? Third roar is the cool one because that was the one where, like, the fade-in occurred right as the production credits like faded in. It was all just like, wow. Cool things you can do in college. There's a time and a place for that kind
for
of thing.
For everything.
And that place is college.
College.
Slashdot did move to the new servers.
Successfully.
Somewhat.
Somewhat. Occasionally successfully.
Let's see what happened. We moved over to the new boxes, which is, there's like 10 of them now. It's pretty crazy. 24 hours after we made the transition, we started getting denial of service attacks, and lots of them.
Because Polly pissy pants.
Because something was not cool. So it was a pretty hellish weekend for everybody for Slash Team, for all the tech guys responsible for Slashdot. And thanks to all those guys, they did a lot of work this weekend. Man, it was a long, long weekend, especially for Pat Lynch and Patrick Galbraith. Those guys were... I don't think that either of them really slept or ate much this weekend, but it was a pretty hellish weekend. It was very frustrating for those of us who are, hundreds of miles away from the servers, and it's just like, well, we'll just sit here and wait that. Let us know how it's all going. It's actually up and running now, and today everything seems to have worked out pretty swell, and we're doing a lot more traffic than we were last week, and things are really zippy. We're loading pages... And now our bottleneck when we're at my house is the ISDN line and not waiting for Slashdot page views. That's pretty sweet. We've got, we will have more information on both the new setup over at Exodus and the denial of service attack. I'm getting a lot of email, which is just like, you bastard, why are you not talking about this? What are you covering up? And people are not understanding that the reality
is I really
that,
like how the paranoid level in Slashdot has reached epic proportions.
Oh, I got a good comment on that one. It's just, we were busy. We were trying to, stop these things from happening.
You can't post about it while you're trying to fix it.
Right. So it was that was pretty funny. I really like the conspiracy theorists. As always, they bring a smile to my lips. And
Rob Malda is owned by the government. He is actually a creation of cigarette smoking man. Destroy the
Microsoft
universe.
Lawsuit is a ruse.
I got a comment for you guys to read. This is this was God bless our moderators. This was moderated as score 3 funny, and it's pretty funny because it was. Oh, I'll turn it to you. All right, it's anonymous. It's from anonymous coward. This is attached to the last. Well, it was to last Geeks in Space, the product placement episode. The subject is Stalinism and the cult of personality. And now, it's clear enough what these, quote, geeks, unquote, are trying to accomplish. They're attempting to foster a personality cult. Once they have your unquestioning, quote, respect, unquote, a.k.a. fawning obedience, they'll start superimposing their own self-interested agenda on the open source movement.
By Rob Malda Soap.
This is worse than Stallman, because Stallman at least has principles. Like not bathing. That wasn't actually in the comment. The Slashdot guys have no principles at all other than self-glorification. I'm Jesus.
Worship.
They'll do whatever it takes to inflate their egos and their wallets.
I am going to make Uncle Stalin look like jack shit compared to me.
Brought to you in part by Cowboy Neil brand candy bar.
It's amazing that he was able to see so deeply into our personas.
You may not think they could do much damage, but wait until they have the kind of influence they want.
I can't wait to influence our national agenda
now. I know. With the kind of influence we wield, I mean, oh my God, I should be in Hollywood. I mean, I want to have, like, blockbuster films.
Tooth decay? That was my fault.
All right. You'll find that some of your favorite open source projects are, quote, out of favor, unquote. Their favorite distro, Debian, will get 10 times the publicity, Debian, and attention that it deserves. Jesus, Debian.
Jesus.
Here we go. We don't need this kind of centralization. Linus can be trusted with his power. Malda can't. It's that simple.
It's true.
It's true.
I have to agree. I think that Rob Malda is the worst thing that ever happened to the open source movement.
I am. I cause all
I
sorts of
I propose that, well, that the three of us take Rob and crucify him.
Well, he is Jesus.
If he rises again Debian. From the dead, then he can be allowed to post again.
By Rob Malda Soap.
Debian. Oh, that just made my day. And the thing is that I can't tell if the guy was actually just a prick or if he was trying to be funny. You know, who knows? I mean, with the kind of hostility that he was written in there, he's either really writing a good parody or he's like, he really, really hates us. Now,
I really feel sorry for him if he believes that.
Oh, man. Yeah. About it. I mean, we're totally about imposing our agenda, Lego Mindstorms. We really want everybody to buy lots of Lego Mindstorms. And what else?
Well, anime. Anime is obviously pushing forward our agenda.
Our agenda. I mean, we're not going to be happy until Dragon Ball Z is in the top 5 in the Nielsens. Okay?
Oh, no.
That's what
everyone
we're looking for.
Everyone watch Lane.
That, and we really, we have a strong feeling that the Gore Bush ticket should just team up to...
Well, I'm voting for not Bush. I've already stated that. There's my political agenda. Not Bush. Does anybody from the other
and
side...
And Rob's girlfriend
time?
Agrees.
That's right.
Oh, wait.
My equal time Ooh. Is drink Coca-Cola.
And I would like to just say, Pepsi, the joy of cola,
I'd like to say Somonex. For those night times that you just can't go
Rob
to sleep.
And soap.
By Rob Malda
Debian. Soap. Debian. Yeah, the conspiracy theorists, it's kind of like a thing now. It's like whatever story we put out there, the conspiracy theorists get in there, and it's like, here's the conspiracy. And sometimes, you know, the conspiracy is Slashdot. Sometimes the conspiracy is Microsoft. Those are like the two biggies.
Sometimes the conspiracy is my pants.
And it's not really your pants per se, but it's what you keep inside of your pants, and that
or
is of
outside
course,
as the
Rob
problem
Malda brand
is.
Soap,
triple acting gold bond medicated powder,
tough actin tenactin.
I drive my Buick Regal home and feel the soothing sounds of the engine.
And when I arrive at home, I like to eat Campbell's brand tomato soup.
Yeah, Debian. So. Wait a minute. I probably
when we have a problem, we blame Canada.
That's right. We have to mention another distribution in order to make sure that our favorite distribution is mentioned 10 times more than that other distribution. How about SUSE?
I was thinking Linux Mandrake.
Linux Mandrake?
Mandrake.
As always, send all your Linux Mandrake tech support questions to
mandrake@mandrake.net.
So, speaking of crashing
Mandrake,
balls,
do you know why I only drink rainwater?
Fluoride.
How does that fit into your international communist conspiracy?
So we're going to have you, your homework is going to be to come up with some conspiracy theories, preferably ones involving the Catholic Church. And you're going to have to send those to kurt@thepope.org.
Yep.
It's very important that he knows that he finds out the truth about the evil organization of which he sits at the head. Oh, and you know what we got to mention? Did you
Catholicism,
know
wow?
He acts Catholicism. Wow. Yeah, Dogma's out on DVD, and I watched that again last week, and man, it's just a great movie.
Genocide is an endurance test.
This it's not like anything, except soccer.
Yeah. Yeah, that was back out. Yeah, Kurt is going to need to know everything about your conspiracy theories, particularly Catholic Church, but in general, you know, if you have the inside scoop into Roswell or, you know, the evil that is hidden, that lurks beneath Slashdot and Andover, I mean, all these things, you should definitely email kurt@thepope.org. His rash has cleared up. He's very happy about that. Actually, what has actually happened is he's added filters to the mail server that trunk that if you mention rashes, he doesn't read your email. It just gets thrown to Dev Null.
So chastise him for censoring you.
Yeah, you should use rash with
arshes.
A star.
Arshes.
A star. Yeah, RSH, because he's a...
Arshes.
You know, for those of you who noticed this, when the I Love You virus thing went out, virus being the wrong word, when that was floating around, he put up a little page, you know, explaining, you know, how to basically clean out your registry and make yourself, you know, safe from it. And his, I linked it on Slashdot, I linked it, he had it on thepope.org, and he actually got something like 100,000 page views over the course of that link. But the best part about it
every
is that...
Every page view going into the pocket of Rob Mulder.
That's all part of the master conspiracy. The, yeah, if only. Maybe he can pay me rent now. So the thing about this that's funny is that one of the things that he's had on his page, I think we've mentioned this before, is the indulgence page, is the fact that, you know, you can fill out a form and he'll absolve you of all your sin.
No, the state of Michigan does not recognize Kurt Damage as head of the Catholic Church.
I don't think the Catholic Church acknowledges him as the
state
head
of Michigan
Catholic
does
Church.
Not give limited liability corporations the power to absolve sins. Please write your congressman to see that this small oversight.
That'll have to be next week's homework assignment: is writing the state of Michigan to get them to give Kurt the ability to absolve sins.
Yeah, he. The funny part is his sinometer or whatever he charges you. You know, $5 for your indulgence.
$5 for a non-deadly sin.
Ten for a deadly sin. He had I ran a macrovirus as a non-deadly sin with a $5 fee to absolve yourself from the sin. He made $40.
Hey.
Eight people did it. Pizza
and beer.
Eight people used it. The funny part, here's the best part about it. The credit card authentication software that we're using costs $35 a month. So he has turned a sweet $5 profit this month.
That's beer.
That's Bud Light, anyway. Yeah. A six-pack of Bud Light.
Well, you can get like 40, so...
Yeah, man, you can get a couple 40s.
We could all have a Mickey's Big Mouth, I think.
Mm-mm, good.
But yeah, so enough people actually fell for the whole absolution thing.
I was pretty impressed.
They had sinned.
Actually, what his theory was actually that people were more like, we used your webpage, and we thank you for using your webpage. And he thinks that this was like people's way of thanking him. So now he's all like, you should have a link on Slashdot that's like, give one penny to Andover because you enjoyed this page or something. And he thinks that'll work now. He thinks micropayments.
I don't want to talk about micropayments.
Volunteer micropayment?
Yeah. They sound like such a neat idea, but
why not?
Maybe if you're a nonprofit site or something like that, yeah. I could see it.
Well, I would like to see it. I think micropayment is just the shit. I think that we got to work that out.
That's what I'm saying, is it's not worked out yet. There's right. no clean, easy way to do it.
Oh, there's totally no easy way to do it. And what credit card is going to let
you
charge a penny?
What about Microsoft Wallet?
Shut up, mate.
What credit card software is going to let you charge a penny? But it'll be really sweet. I mean, there's a lot of pages that I'm on that I would be just like, yeah, thanks. I'll give you a penny.
Yeah, I would love to. Especially, I found a great new page for EverQuest monks called The Dojo. And it was probably the webpage which I got most excited about in the last month. So
I would have to give a penny to The Onion every week.
Yep.
And I would have to, you know, and it's just a penny, you know.
I'd give a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably give
Rob's a cheapskate.
Well, you know, I could see myself giving like a dollar or a quarter, you know, for a site like Old Man Murray.
Old Man Murray.
Dude, Hills, I'd pay a lot to read
the
Old
Filthy
Man
Critic.
Murray.
Yeah.
The
Filthy Critic is pretty good. So, yeah, I would think that'd just be the greatest way to do this stuff. I mean, here's you know, a penny. I mean, come on. You pay $5 a week or whatever, and you just have a $5 allotment of, you know, well, I'm going to give a penny to every page that, you know, in some way benefits me. It's $5. And anybody who has, like, some reasonable traffic is going to, like, be able to make money off this. And then we wouldn't have to have banner ads. I mean, that'd be pretty pimp. I'm really sick of banner ads.
Yeah, I'm sick of banner ads, too.
Especially when our banner ad server blew up this weekend. That was a fun one, too. Woo! That's made me hate banner ads with a holy passion that burns with the heat of many suns. So, you know, the funny part is we made it all the way through this episode, and we never actually told ourselves or told anybody who we really were.
I often have the problem of not telling myself who I am.
Let's do introductions now, and I will copy and paste it to the front of the episode.
Oh, you know what I wanted to mention? There are now at least 3 websites that are doing parody radio shows, or not parody, but copycat radio shows of us.
That's excellent.
You haven't listened to them.
No, no. I remember we do sound bad, but
we're horrible.
I remember the little bit that I heard up in your office, and yeah, dude, that's pretty cool. It's cool when, I mean, imitation is the most sincere form of
something. The thing that bothers me is that I listen to these things and I'm just like, yep, we sound that dumb. So guys, we sound that dumb.
Hey, I can handle it.
So I'm Wolf Blitzer.
I'm Mike Wallace.
And I'm Tom Brokaw.
And I'm Barbara Streisand.
You've been listening to Geeks in Space,
broadcasting from
the dark
side
of the moon. And we're going to sign off before the...
from the dark side of the moon.
Before the fallout gets
to us.
Will
the geeks get out before the atomic device explodes?
Stay tuned next week.
Hey, we never did get to the obscene phone call of the day.
And God, our readers thank us for it.
Especially since it was just Potter talking to Nate.
Yeah, but he was talking real dirty. And Nate was charging $4.95 a minute.
So what are you wearing?
Hot.
You can call me up and talk dirty to me anytime, cowboy.
Yeehaw.
So what are you wearing there?
Oh my God, someone hit stop.
See you guys next week.